back. Let's get going. Keep your seatbelts on most of the time because things are right on the edge. No matter where you look, there's trouble to be seen. A video I got on Rumble. Is Rumble? Yeah, Rumble. Some days ago, which I sent right on to Father Kramer, was pretty surprising, although not terribly so if you've been following our conversations. The title of the video was Pope Francis, that's Bergoglio to all of you who know, declares Jesus is a liar and Lucifer is the Son of God. Well, that's sort of about what was said. I'm not sure that's exactly verbatim, but that was the idea. This was run by the People's Voice video channel. I sent it right away to Father Kramer in case he hadn't seen it. Some of you probably saw it. I did run it on the page here. But there's a lot of insanity out there. But it's not just crazy insanity. It's satanic insanity. It's organized satanic insanity. That's what we're up against. And much worse. Father Kramer, welcome back. How are you?
Well, it's great to be back. And yes, I did receive the article that you sent on to me. And one observation I make, because there are many articles that are coming out that are like this.
Yeah.
You won't find Bergoglio actually saying these things. He doesn't actually say that.
Well, that's why I mentioned verbatim. You're correct. But the point is, and you finish that sentence. Go right ahead. I know where you're going.
But it is under the surface. It can be inferred. The implication is there.
Yes. Yeah.
Because these people in charge of the Vatican, this group, they are sectarians of the worst kind. Just like you had during the reign of Pope Pius X. Now, he's a canonized saint, St. Pius X, a great pope, a great saint. But
what year was that approximately, Father Kramer? I remember that name when I was a kid. What year was he pope approximately?
I believe he was elected in the year 1903.
It was right around the turn of the century, but he was still talked about. He was rather legendary for a while, as I remember.
Yes, well, he's the one who made the warning about the one world religion, mm-hmm. and how this would be part of a one world order.
Yeah,
that would be very oppressive. And we see this, everything he foretold is coming true. And that was in an official letter that he made these prophetic statements.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
saw these things. He saw these things coming. But he was a man of great foresight. When World War I began, everyone seemed to think that this was going to last a few weeks. It's just going to be a minor skirmish. It'll be over. But it was St. Pius X who said, "This is the big one." And of course, it was World War I, the first truly mm-hmm. World War.
Mm-hmm.
So a man of that stature, there was found. He became Pope because there was another man who was the leading candidate to be elected after the death of Pope Leo XIII, and that was a man by the name of Cardinal Rampolla. And it was the Austrian emperor who possessed the veto power, and through the Archbishop, I think, of Warsaw. Was it Warsaw or Krakow? I can't remember, which is one of the Polish cities. Pronounced the veto in the conclave.
Interesting. Uh-huh.
And it was found out that Cardinal Rampolla belonged to the Ordo Templi Orientis, the very devilish sect offshoot of Freemasonry. So we've had infiltration of this kind before in the church. It was already more than 100 years ago. But now they have gained a stranglehold at the top level. And I mentioned before, you have people like this priest, Marco Rupnik,
right,
who was convicted by the church of serious crimes like raping nuns, and he was excommunicated. He was removed from the ministry of the priesthood, mm-hmm. excommunicated from the church. And this Bergoglio reversed the conviction and reinstated him.
Oh, I didn't know this. This is pretty brazen, to put it mildly. When did this happen?
Very brazen, very brazen. And those people who belong to this inner circle, who belong to the sect.
Yeah, yeah.
They carry on their criminal activities with impunity.
Wow. Sounds like the American government. Okay, I get it. This is amazing. He actually recertified a rapist of nuns. Well, that should tell you a lot, dear friends. A lot. Wow.
Then there was the report of the homosexual orgy that took place in the Holy Office building. This was unbelievable. This is the kind of thing you thought only could happen in during Renaissance times and things like that, when things were really out of control.
You know what's interesting, Father Kramer, and I think there is honestly another parallel to be drawn between what you just described and what probably has been going on in the White House since the days of Obama. Not to include Trump necessarily, but depravity, I think, has been more than a rare occurrence in the White House. And you're saying the same thing about the Vatican here. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, that's yeah, and also here in the European Union, it's the same thing. I don't have the evidence in my hand, so I'm not going to mention the name, but someone of very high rank in the Irish government was involved in, I think, not something quite as bad as what we've been mentioning here, but still bad enough.
Got it.
And that's how they exercise control over these people, because they can blackmail them.
It's an old tool, and it is in absolutely enormous use today. I'm wondering how you see, now I don't consider the Vatican to be even worth quoting anymore from my position. I'm not a Catholic, I don't pretend to be, but how do you and your people, in your group, your circle, who are old school, soaked in values, morality, and the doctrines of the church, how do you see the planet Earth right now in terms of satanic influence, if not control, at this point? How big is it? Now, that's a difficult question, but I just want to toss it out there and see what comes back. How much of satanic control are we seeing parade by us every day in the so-called news headlines and stories?
Well, first of all, we're seeing it everywhere. And what's most alarming, we're seeing it both in church and state. That church and state are walking together in unison.
Got it.
And that is really frightful.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed.
In a nutshell, what they're doing in the church is they say that they're reforming the church, but that's not what's happening. They are creating a new church. They are going to replace.
How about the word reformat rather than reform? That's what they're doing. That's what you're saying.
Reformat in the sense they want to replace the Catholic Church with a new and different church. When Bergoglio said it's going to be a different church, that's a very loaded term, because people don't understand what he's... Catholic people, they think, well, yeah, there's going to be some different aspects about it, some different changes of attitude and all this sort of thing. No, when he says a different church, he's he's concealing the fact that in a very radical sense, it is a different church that he's creating, because it is a totally inverted structure. It's going to be a new organization to replace the Catholic Church and to abolish the Catholic Church and replace it with something else. And the way they're trying to do this is coming out now in the synod. In this synod in Rome, although they don't publish the proceedings, Bergoglio wants to always talks about a dialogue and listening, but he won't let the Catholic people listen to what's being said in the synod. The people in the synod have to let the news trickle out, and we hear what they're up to, and it's very alarming, because Bergoglio talks about listening. Now, this is the total hypocrisy of those people in the Vatican, Tucho Fernandez, Jorge Bergoglio.
Right.
Because they're talking about the synodal process, and they want what they call a listening church. Listen to everyone. Listen to everyone who wants to conduct this inversion, to bring about this reformatting of Catholicism into something that it never was and never can be. But will they listen to people who are of the old religion, of the historic Catholic religion that has existed for 2,000 years? No.
Right.
They spew out contempt. They speak about rigidity, and there is nothing more rigid than their rejection of the old religion.
Well said. Yeah.
This is just the most abject hypocrisy that you're going to find anywhere on earth. You thought it was only in our politicians? No way. I think it's worse in the church than in secular politics, if that's even conceivable. But that's the way it is now. So what they intend to do. They have already formulated their agenda. They're going through this process of making it look sort of democratic, but they want to deconstruct the church, reconstruct it according to a different blueprint that is not of the New Testament, that is not of the apostles, that is not of Jesus Christ. The doctrinal authority that is the foundation of the unity of faith in the Catholic Church, and of the doctrine of what Catholics must believe, has always been the papacy, because as Catholics we understand that Jesus Christ founded the papacy in the primacy that Jesus Christ conferred on Saint Peter, that authority over the other apostles, that he could overrule them. And that this power is passed on to his successors. And that's what the church has professed as a matter of faith. That cannot be changed. But Bergoglio is attempting to change it. Bergoglio and Fernandez and that whole crew, they want to invest that authority in the bishops' conferences. So the bishops' conferences of each country can mm-hmm. call for synods, and morality and doctrine will be determined by those synods. So supposedly they'll be listening to the people, and of course they're listening to the people that they want to hear, who think along the lines that they do, who will approve their agenda. So they say they're listening to the people out there on the peripheries. Rome is just going to be, the so-called Pope will just be a rubber stamp, And you're going to have a different faith and different morality in the various parts of the world, because they're talking about those what they call the realities, like the realities of the African church, the realities of the church in France and in Germany, United States, Canada, etc., South America, the South American countries, that they consider these to be different realities. So the church has to have undergo this inculturation, not only in its liturgy, but in its belief system, in its beliefs, and in its moral teaching. And you will have a varying and conflicting moral code and varying belief system in different parts of the world, what would supposedly be the Catholic Church. And the hypocrisy of these people in the Vatican is that they're talking about this is for the sake of unity, but this destroys all unity, because in the Catholic Church, we profess that the Church is one because we have one faith. We all profess the divinity of Jesus Christ, his divine authority, and that his word is the law of God. And that we receive from the apostles, and that's why we call that the apostolic tradition. And so it is one belief system for the entire universal, global, worldwide Catholic Church, because there is one Lord, one faith, and one sacramental system, which is the seven sacraments, instituted by Jesus Christ. So we say there. This is why we quote the Apostle Paul, St. Paul, who said, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." There's one principle of governance, the supreme authority of the Pope. There is the infallible teaching of the Pope, which is to the grace that the Pope has as successor of St. Peter to preserve the unity of faith in the doctrine that we receive from the apostles. Bergoglio is overturning all of this. So the doctrine, the revealed teaching about the commandments of God, the law of God, all of that is going to be democratized, which means it's going to be reformed in their manner of speaking, reformed, but it's going to be overturned.
Well, communized. I'll go with that. Yes. Let me say one thing. The idea of a church, the church, for 2,000 years adhering to a basic, obvious, clearly stated belief system and mission on the planet, a unanimity, or nearly unanimity in most cases, of an institution like the Catholic Church for 2,000 years now is being literally dismantled and dismembered right in front of the 1.3 billion members of the Church. And you mentioned these synods of bishops, one synod of bishops in each country, or approximately each country. And I can see nothing from that except for fragmentation, division, subversive activities and agendas being pushed. This is a recipe for a catastrophe in terms of unanimity of thought, morality, spirituality, and belief. Is it not? I mean, what are we going to get from these synods all around the world, from these bishops? How many of them have been corrupted already?
Well, they've been corrupted, all right, and a good number of them. And those that have not been corrupted are being eliminated one by one. And what they're creating in place of that unanimity is what the communists call consensus.
Got it.
Now, consensus is not what normal people consider to be consensus. A true consensus is when there's a meeting of the minds and there's a general agreement. That's consensus. That's not the communist notion of consensus, and that's not the Bergoglian Vatican's idea of what would be a consensus. Consensus is what Bergoglio is doing now, listening to pre-chosen members of the synod who will spout the party line from below so that the party line that was formulated from above will appear like it's coming from all the four corners of the world, from the various sectors of the church. But right. It's not. It's created to be. It's all made to appear that way, so that they're pre-formulated dictatorial agenda can be rammed down the throats of all the Catholic people of the world, and they can say, well, there's a consensus. That's the kind of consensus that they have. They say it's eliciting. But they're only listening to people of their own kind.
It's such a fraud, the whole thing. It's really it's abhorrent to any kind, decent Catholic. It should be. What's going on here, I guess I can parallel again with our national government, federal government here, over the people. A lot of people are waking up, but the people have no voice. They have no representatives there are a handful, but generally speaking, they've been sold out. The evil that has taken over this country is the same evil that has taken over and is taking over the papacy and the Vatican. That's how I see it.
Well, when the main political parties have been bought off, and they've all the politicians are sold out to the ones who are to the dictators, the super rich dictators. You end up with a communist dictatorship, because communism what communism is monopoly capitalism. And what communism is imposing an ideology on an entire nation or an entire group of nations or on the entire world, as they intend to do. And there's no allowance for any deviation of thought. You either spout the party line, or like in communist China, you're going to have your organs forcibly taken from you, and you'll be an organ donor, an involuntary organ donor. That's what it comes down to.
Father Kramer is not exaggerating any of this. I hope all of you are listening. We are living in cataclysmic times of terrible intrigue, highest treason and betrayal of values and systems that have served humankind for a long period on this planet, all being shredded and ripped apart. The reformatting, the reconstruction, the rebuilding of the Catholic Church is not unlike, Father Kramer, a constitutional convention here in these formerly United States, in which the Constitution would be reformatted as well to serve its communist masters. It's the same kind of thing, parallel.
Yes, and that's why there's got to be vigilance in the upcoming election, because if the so-called Democratic Party, which is really the Communist Party, would win this the presidency again, then the United States becomes a communist country, totally
yes,
communized.
I would kindly submit that the last election was not a victory for communism. It was a theft by communism. And we're looking at the same thing here. If communism pulls off another fraud, this country is finished, done. And what happened in 2020 was sadly and tragically, and I don't even like to say this, but the American people allowed this travesty to exist and to continue. And we've had 4 years of it. Look what we've got now. We've got 20 to 30 million invaders who have been brought into this country with tax dollars, and the same in Ireland. And for God's sakes, look what's happened in Europe. We know this. The invasion of white, Western, Christian, cultural countries is clearly in high gear now. And they, the controlling elite, want all of us who oppose that dead. And I'm not exaggerating.
That's exactly what they want. And Bergoglio won't say it, but he's the great cheerleader for this secularist agenda, and he's creating right. a secularist neo-pagan church that will promote the inverted values of the globalists. Now we have how they work together is frightful, because this will create the worst tyranny that has ever existed in the history of the human race.
Correct. Well, absolutely.
Now they're pushing through the parliament here in Ireland this hate speech legislation that is changing the definition of what they call gender. Now, we understand this is not just a question of biblical revelation. God created the human race. He created male and female, man and woman. But this is a matter of primary knowledge. And primary knowledge is the most immediate knowledge we have of things. And as such, the collective primary knowledge of the human race cannot be in error. We as human beings, we know what is the difference between a man and a woman. A man is of the male sex, a woman is of the female sex. End of discussion. That is something that is immediately evident. It is immediately evident, it is founded on our primary knowledge. And because primary knowledge is primary, there is nothing that is more known than that. There is nothing that is better known than what is primary. And so it cannot be disproven. It cannot be legitimately argued. But they would, by legal fiction, create other genders and impose against our natural right to understand and speak the truth. They would impose upon us, under penalty of imprisonment, that we have to respect the delusional beliefs of individuals who think themselves to be something other than male or female, and that we will have to go to jail if we don't refer to these people, individuals now, as a they. Now, they is the plural. It's not a singular. If you're a human being, you're a man or a woman, you're he or she. You're not they. They is plural. But now you have individuals who want to be called they because they think that they are something other. They call that non-binary, which is to say they're not male nor neither male nor female. They're
right,
something.
Right.
Now, this is something that is detached from reality. It's what we call delusional. But the state would impose under criminal penalty, that we must go along with that fiction, with that delusion, and that we have to accept it, and we have to speak accordingly. Otherwise, off to jail we go. That's what they want to do. Now, Bergoglio speaks out of both sides of his mouth. He says we have to accept the way we were created on the one hand, but he is so aggressively promoting aggressively that so-called agenda with the how should I say, with the rainbow colors, I think you know what I mean.
For sure, yeah.
He is so aggressively promoting that agenda that, again, there's an old saying, we've all heard it all our lives long, actions speak louder than words. What this man is promoting is that radical agenda. And it is only to create confusion and to create doubt in people's mind that he will sometime give some mild lip service in a very vague and general way to the traditional values, while he aggressively promotes the radical agenda that would overturn the entire moral order, social order, and belief in divine revelation and the law of God. All this would be overturned. Mm-hmm. Now, Bergoglio is, as even an atheist philosopher said of him, Bergoglio is the atheist pope. That's what he said. I quote the name of this philosopher in my first volume of To Deceive the Elect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear, it's obvious that this man does not believe in God the way Christian people believe in God. Because look what this synod, this Bergoglian synod, is promoting, and the idea of what is sin. Conspicuously absent is any notion of violating the law of God and committing sin against God is the primary offense that we call sin. By definition, in the Catholic Church, it's best explained by the great moral theologians like St. Alphonsus Liguori, and you'll find it also in St. Robert Bellarmine, St. Thomas Aquinas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sin is first and foremost, essentially, when someone turns away from God and in defiance of the law of God does what God forbids or does not do what God commands. That's sin. But for Bergoglio, the sin against God has been replaced by the sin against the earth. Sin against the earth, against the planet, against the environment.
How about also against good and goodness? Boy, they hate goodness.
Well, that is implied, but they won't say it.
No.
Because it's an inverted value system where evil is good, but they won't say it. But that is their sectarian belief. And so you can sin against the poor, you can sin against your neighbor, you can sin against the planet, you can sin against the earth, you can sin against the environment. But there is no mention of sin against God. Why? Because there's no, and Bergoglio has even said so much, there's no need to believe in God. You don't even have to believe in God. How could you be commanded to love God if you don't even have to believe in God? But according to Bergoglio, there's no need to believe in God. If you believe in nature, you believe in the earth, well, that's believing in God. That's what
of course it is. By obvious extension, of course it is. Yes.
And I try to explain that. I do explain this to Catholic people, but so many of them, they just can't believe it. They can't accept it. But they have not examined the case. They have not examined the evidence. But you examine the evidence, and that's what I did. I decided I would compile this evidence and explain the matter, and that's how I wrote two rather large volumes in so doing to show what is the agenda and belief system of Bergoglio and these people around him. And this is what Catholics do not understand, that we're not talking about a bad pope, a man who was personally has wrong beliefs, a man who is personally promoting evil. No, we have something that's far worse. What we have is a man who is inverting the entire divine constitution of the church and thereby creating a different church. And he said it will be a different church. It is a different church that replaces the law of God with the satanic code of, how should I say? I think it was Anton LaVey who said it best, do what you will.
Yes. Yeah. LaVey, yes. Yeah.
Yes. The moral law, the law of God, is something that they are attempting to abolish and replace it with this absolute anarchy of letting people do what they want. Within
no accountability. No, they all have a free pass. No accountability. This is the age of non-accountability. Everybody's a victim, if there's anything, and they're not accountable. It's not my fault. I didn't do that. It was done to me. No, this is all awful. It's the inverse of teaching knowledge, wisdom, morality, and responsibility. It's not doing that. This is all about brainwashing dogma of rank communism. It's satanic communism at that.
An artificial morality, because the only restraint that is imposed is to that which is necessary to preserve the satanic order that they want to enforce upon the world. So they will enforce that godless order. And that is now the dictate that will replace the moral law. And that's what they're doing, both in church. Church and state together are working in lockstep to bring about this revolution. And so it is not only something that is a rebellion against God, but it is something that is a very danger to the continued existence of the human race. And we can only be thankful that God is almighty and he will not tolerate this, because God is infinitely good, that he will bring them down to their ruin. And there are many prophecies of the saints in the Catholic Church down through the centuries who foretell this terrible age that we've entered.
Well, and we're in it. Yeah.
The reign of terror that we're soon to undergo in the world. Yeah. But God will not allow the waters of this flood to pass beyond a certain point. But what they intend to do will threaten the very existence, the continued existence of the human race. Now, you look at the World Economic Forum, and they are promoting what the agenda of the most powerful, the richest, most powerful, most evil people in this world. And the agenda that they're promoting goes beyond the so-called Great Reset. We look to what they call the Fourth Industrial Revolution. That gets to the heart of the matter. They want to replace human beings in the workforce with robots, eliminate jobs, make people become useless for them. So they
Correct.
Will classify the vast majority of the human race as useless eaters, because they aren't needed anymore. They are needed to be subservient to them. What is a useless eater? Well, it's a person who's not useful to them. Like human life has no value for them, except that we are a commodity. We are a capital good. If we can be used for some purpose to serve them, then we're useful. But if we are of no use to them, then we are classified as useless. And what happens if we're useless? Well, already we see in Canada, with the assisted suicide laws that they have in Canada, not only are people who have suffered disabilities, like I remember there was a woman who had a distinguished career in her life. She's retired. She had difficulty going up and down stairs. Now, the state is supposed to provide for people like that some assistance so that they can have the equipment, the machinery in the house to help them go up and down the stairs. Well, they didn't install this in her house, and she's finding it difficult to maneuver to get upstairs and downstairs in her house. And so she's given the option, well, if life is too difficult for you, you know, you can go snuff yourself, assisted suicide. That's what it's coming down to. But it's not only that. Now, even poor people who are too poor, now they're saying the state doesn't have the resources to support the poor people. The welfare state is crumbling, as has been planned all along. We see writings going back to the early 1950s when they tell us very bluntly that they're going to phase this welfare state out. And it's gonna go to an involuntary euthanasia, basically. And already people in Canada who are suffering poverty, it's being suggested to them to snuff themselves with assisted suicide.
Right.
So this is the diabolical contempt As Jesus Christ our Lord said, the devil is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So they have served up all these lies, all their communist lies about the utopia they wanted to create for us. But in the end, mm-hmm. it's just going to be one, the earth. They want to transform the world into one great death camp.
You couldn't be more correct. Said extremely correctly, eloquently. You're right. It's it is what it is. And I just wish more people could see it. But how can they when the mainstream media that they look at and actually think is reality is controlled by the very satanic elements that are overturning the order of morality, kindness, decency, and humanity on the planet? That's what's going on. Look at the wars right now. Come on, look at the slaughter. This is Zelensky in Ukraine has literally sacrificed well over 1 million young Ukrainian men to the Russian military meat grinder. They have no air power. They have no air cover. They have nothing. They're being slaughtered. 3,000 a day many times and more. It's over 1 million to date. This Zelensky is one of Satan's own, as I think many of you realize. All these wars, you must look at the causes and who's prosecuting them and understand that this is abject communist, Bolshevik, Zionist evil. That's what's behind this.
Yes, and the prophet Isaiah was the one who pronounced the curse on those who would put evil in the place of good. And yet we hear this slogan, "We stand with Ukraine." Well, no, they don't. What these people do who say that they stand with Ukraine is they are promoting the idea of supporting the Zelensky regime to supply them with arms, and which is bringing about the annihilation of the Ukrainian population.
Correct. Correct.
Now, so they're putting evil in the place of good. This is one great lie. Because if you really stand with Ukraine, and I really stand with Ukraine, and if you really stand with Ukraine, you stop all support for that regime. You let the natural course of events take place. There will be peace between Russia and Ukraine, and we can get on with a peaceful world. Ukraine and Russia existed side by side as sister nations. Until the globalist Western powers decided to intervene for their own wicked ends.
Well, they overthrew Yanukovych in 2014, and up until the time of the special military operation beginning by Russia, which they had to do, there were over 15,000 murdered by Western Ukrainians against those in the Donbass. People, our listeners know this. There's nothing good to be said about any of that. Nothing. Zero. And I'm afraid that, I don't know how. All right, first of all, Zelensky is still alive. Why? Why is he still alive? Because the international Zionist community has dictated that he not be killed, or Russia would have removed him years ago. So understand the big picture here. Don't get caught up in the minutia. That's what they want you to do. Pull back. Go ahead, please.
That's right. But anyone who questions this secular dogma about Ukraine is canceled.
Correct.
And so this whole idea that of dialogue and listening, but in the church they call it dialogue, they call it synodalism, listening. In the state they call it freedom of speech and democracy, but it's all the same thing, because when you cannot speak your mind and just state the plain and simple truth, the reality of the situation, and not the inverted reality that they're trying to impose upon the minds of people, what they will do. Well, like they did to Dr. Mercola, they will debank you. They will take away your bank account, and that means, with the monetary system they're creating, which will be digital, you can't make a transaction without a bank account. That means you're going to be treated like a wild animal. You're going to be thrown. You're going to lose your home. You're going to lose your livelihood. You're going to be like a wild animal. You're out. Your home will be the street, and you won't have any means of buying food or anything. You'll be a victim to the elements. You're going to die of exposure. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
This is democracy. Correct. This is democracy.
That's right.
This is the brand of democracy. They're trying to turn Western Europe, the United States, into what we would call People's Democratic Republics, like the People's Democratic Republic of Korea, North Korea, of course, the Communist North Korea, People's Democratic Republic of Korea. They're trying to change the United States of America into the People's Democratic Republic of America. They're trying to turn the European Union into the European Union of socialist republics, of the people's republics of Europe.
Where largely underwritten by the forced integration of third world and worse people who are being flown in nonstop to Europe. It boggles my mind. We're seeing the same thing here. Americans should be at the borders by the millions demanding this stop, but they're not going to do it because they have the ball game on the weekends. Or hell, almost any day of the week you can watch ball games now, I guess. They have bread and circuses fully deployed against what used to be a thinking public. We've really slipped over here, and I'm sure similar things are going on there.
Absolutely. And there are some people who understand what's happening and who are trying to take action, who are taking some action, but they are in a minority.
Correct.
Here in Ireland, there are people who are opposing this insane policy of immigration, allowing all these military-age young men from Muslim countries, mainly, to just invade the country. And if you oppose the government in these policies, you're labeled extreme right.
Oh yeah.
The government is like with the so-called gender policy, say with immigration, all of these globalist anti-human communist dictatorial policies, they are doubling down. They are going to force, if they have the power, they will use their power of the state to force this on the people, to force this on the entire population. They have absolutely no respect for the will of the people. They want to dictate their agenda, and they have a dictatorial system of education to brainwash the entire nation into thinking the same way that they do, so they can impose a uniformity of mind on all the people. This is a total dictatorship where you are not even allowed to think. Anything that they don't allow you to think. There was a man in England, I remember, who was arrested and charged and fined, and he's appealing. He's in the process of appeal. But he was standing silently across the street outside of one of these abortion mills. And the police came up to him and said, "What are you doing here?" "Well, I'm standing here minding my own business." The man was not doing anything visible, just except standing still. And he says, "This is public property. I'm minding my own business." But one of the police asked him, "Are you praying?" And he said, and he admitted that he was praying. Praying silently inside his head, he was praying. That was enough. They arrested him and charged him with a criminal offense. No, this is what we call thought crime. Now, in the civilized world, you can only be charged with a crime for doing some kind of external action, because what's going on inside of a person's mind is not visible. And because it's not visible, it does not affect the social order. It does not attack the social order, because nothing is happening. It's all inside the person's head.
That's right. That's right. All true. So, we have to wrap this up, Father Kramer, and we've got about 15 seconds. Go ahead, please.
So internal actions are not, in all the civilized world, internal actions are not judicable. But now they are. Now
nice.
It's a thought.
Orwellian. Nicely said. Totally Orwellian. Yeah.
Of course.
It's beyond words. Deplorable. Horrible. Thank you. Wonderful program. Take care of yourselves. We'll talk to you soon. A couple weeks. All right? Be well.
Thanks. God bless.
Okay. God bless you. And all of you as well. And have a good weekend. Thank you. We'll be back on Monday. Take care. And the network will be running 24/7. Talk soon.